This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated. It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
A bag will make you cut off your nose and try to save face. A bag will make you body your man without the melee. You ever need some ends, you know where to find pay grade. Sweetest dream hitting as long as the sleep missing. If you ain't cut for it, I'm guessing we bleed different straight drop. Yeah, got it now if you want till I bring it back around all the front and call it straight. Circling around till we done dead. Pop whipping round till I'm numb. I call it straight. Got it off the ground from the jump. Yeah, bet I got the town in the tuck. I call it straight.
God levels when we up. I done made a crown out of dust. I call it straight. Hold on. I need that. Anyway, I'm doing it all episodes, so get used to it. Strap in. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start out by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill and listen to my random ramblings, stories, you know, talking about my daughter, whatever I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Man, sorry for the delay this week on the episode. I'm trying to be, you know, real good at being consistent and getting stuff out on Mondays, but I think I had a good reason that, you know, I'm a little late. You know, my shows are usually, like, recorded a day or two before they released, you know, and you can usually tell, you know, the content is what happened in, you know, those days leading up to that release. So, it had some special things happen this weekend that kind of, you know, took up the majority of my time for a good reason. And so I wasn't able to get it out on time, but here we go. I am here. I made it better late than never, but never late is better. Anyway, here I am. So yeah, let's get into it. I got a lot to cover this one. I had to start with that because that album has been like just on repeat. That track in particular has been on repeat for a minute. When I drive right now, like that's all I'm listening to exclusively, except for Kids Bop when Chef Elise is in the car. But that song was straight drop from Sky Zoo. He just dropped the album, I want to say Friday the 13th. The Mind of a Saint. He did an entire like concept hip hop album where he is rapping from the perspective of Franklin Saint from the Snowfall series, and I just thought it was a dope idea. Like, matter of fact, really, when I first heard Straight Drop, I didn't quite recognize that was the concept. It was just a dope song. Like that beat goes hard, and you know, Sky Zoo never he never disappoints lyrically. Yeah, so I just love it. I was sending it to people. I was just hitting, tagging people in posts. Just like, man, I was just so taken back by this music. You know, I'm always looking for dope music. And when I find it, like, I need to share that experience with people. And then, you know, I listened to more of the album. And then when I finally understood, you know, what it was and what he was trying to do, it was just that much more dope or doper. I don't know. I don't know what the appropriate way to say that is. But anyway, yeah, awesome album. If you get a chance, check it out. Sky Zoo and the other guys, I think. And The Mind of a Saint. Dope album. Yeah, I used to be in the Snowfall. Like, Snowfall was... I really liked the show when it first started. I think I might have made it all the way through the first season or the majority of the way through the first season. Really, what stopped me from watching the show was not anything wrong with the show. I just had, like, a negative experience that got tied to it. I used to sit and like and wait for Snowfall episodes to drop, and I would sit in my like office, you know, in the house back when I was married, you know, and everything was different. But you know, I had a little space in the house that was dedicated to my recording, and that's where my PlayStation was. It was my office. I had a door, so I was just going there, and that'd be my like moment of zen. And I really did like probably check out way too much from family life at that time. Like, I just would close the door and be on my own shit. And, you know, my wife and my kid would be out there doing whatever. And I'd be unaware of what they were doing. and they would, for the most part, be unaware of what I was doing. And that's what I was into. But yeah, Snowfall would be like my time to really, like, I would like get it in. I would drink. I watched the show and just like chill, and you know, I had my time. But I was, you know, I wasn't doing your average type drinking. I was doing way too much, and at that point, I wasn't supposed to be drinking at all. I think I was actually on probation for my DUI, and had the little breathalyzer thing in the car and all that. So I wasn't supposed to be drinking at all. But you know, who follows rules? And, you know, and my ex-wife, you know, at that point was really on me about, you know, the not drinking. She was very upset. She normally did most of the driving because I didn't even have a license at the time. So she was very upset about having the breathalyzer in the car, as she should have been. And so, yeah, the idea that now she has to deal with this breathalyzer and I'm still, like, doing whatever I want to do wasn't cool. And so, yeah, it was very much I'm sneaking away to go watch my show and drink my drink while, like, I can ignore my family for a little while. And I remember one particular time I'm in there, I'm in the middle of an episode, and she, like, comes in because she's, you know, highly suspicious of whatever's going on in this room. And she starts looking around like she can just, in her mind, I know you in here drinking. And in my mind, yeah, I am, but you can't prove it, so, you know, who gives a fuck? So, and I got like, I think I was sitting there drinking like vodka, and I got the vodka right next to me, but it's in like a metallic water bottle. So, you know, I'm saying I'm in there drinking water. So she ignores that, and I'm thinking I'm good. Like, she's never going to find it. It's in the water bottle right here. She can't prove that I'm drinking. You know, I'm good. And she starts looking around, and she finds, like, the crazy thing is, like, she found, like, an empty vodka bottle that I probably forgot about from, like, months ago. It was up, tucked away in the closet. Of course, like, it was an empty bottle, like, tucked away in the closet because I was trying to hide it months ago, but I apparently hid it from myself and never threw it away. And so that's why I get in trouble in the present for something I did in the past, and she didn't discover what I was presently doing. Like, it was, I don't know. It was a bad experience. Fucked up the night for me. And I don't know. I have not been able to watch that show again without, like, the memories of the way I was, you know, the way I was lying and the shit I was trying to pull off and just, you know, the embarrassment of that moment. Like, being embarrassed about being caught, but then being mad about being caught about something that you had done a long time ago. It was stupid. That's why I haven't been able to watch the show. But this album makes me want to go back and get back into it so I can understand more what he's talking about. So anyway, that was a way more than I meant to say about that, but that's why I started with that track. Dope track, straight. I'm doing it all episode, I promise. Yeah, so let's get into what I normally do here. Let's jump right into the Sheffield Lease Report.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am, because, yeah, I got a lot to cover. And a lot of big, important shit to cover. As everything this weekend, my Sheffield Lease experience started off very positive. So we got an email from her teacher, and this is just like the new school stuff. First, we get the email for her report card, and, like, I don't know if this is going to change at some point. I don't know when it got to this point, but, like, a first grader's report card is like, it's like 2 or 3 pages long, and it's crazy. It's just all of these weird abstract concept objectives to me. Like, it's like, I just want to know if she can read and add and shit. Like, all of these little objectives, and it's no, like, A's and B's. It's like meets or exceeding or not met. So, like, I don't know. Like, it is crazy. I guess I can say she got all E's or something. I think that's excellent or something. I don't know. Like, the fact that I can't read my first grader's report card, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, am I stupid, or is things gone too far? Or, you know, I'm just old and I don't like change. And I just want to know if she can read. And I know she can read. I just want you to brag about it on the report card so I can easily show somebody else how dope my little kid is. But they won't give me that, so I'm angry. Anyway, but she did very well on her report card. And then we got an email from the teacher, and this is all new shit to me, that they were having an awards assembly and that Elise was getting an award. And she gave us, you know, the the option to attend. And so, yeah, I went to her little awards assembly, and I would say it was pretty dope. They did a good job, because I know, you know, a lot of us old heads or older people don't like this whole, like, everybody gets a trophy, you know, culture that we kind of live in, like participation trophies, and everybody's excellent, everybody's special type shit. So they did a very good job, like, at the opening of the awards assembly, like, explaining to the kids that not everybody is going to get an award today. And just because you didn't get an award doesn't mean you didn't work hard, you know. And then maybe if you continue to work hard, you can get an award at a later assembly. And so I was like, all right, yeah, that's a good message to the kids. Like, not everybody is going to win, you know, every time. And it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. It's just you didn't win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just what the fuck happened? And then they start going through the awards. And my daughter got a math award. That says Math Ninja on it or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how they chose that. But what I started noticing, well, first, let's stick to the positives first. First thing I noticed is that was very dope was that the kids were, like, super encouraging of the other kids, which is the exact opposite of my, like, elementary school experience. But as kids was going up to get awards, you could hear the other little kids, like, a great job, Jacob, and clapping, and woohoo. They was like, they was really getting into it, like supporting, you know, their classmates for these achievements, whether or not they got an award or not, which I thought was very dope. I know when I was coming up, like, this goes into my next topic, like the fact that I would get so many awards did not win me very many brownie points socially. Like, you know, it did not help my cause in trying to, like, fit in and be cool with everybody, that I would get, you know, celebrated at these awards assemblies. And I think that maybe the difference was, and this is what I noticed that they didn't do at this award assembly. At this award assembly, I don't know how to feel about this. It seemed like no kid got more than one award. Like, so they gave out awards for different topics and, you know, subject matter, like math and science and STEM and attendance and being a good person or whatever. And it just seemed like every time the groups were called to come up there to get an award, it was this different group of kids, as if they had made the conscious decision that if you were getting a math award, you were not getting a science award. Or if you're getting this award, you were not getting that award. And I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I don't know. Some people are just generally dope at a lot of things. I think they should be celebrated in all those areas and not like denied, you know, recognition because of how it might make somebody else feel. But at the same time, as a kid who used to get all those awards, it eventually backfired on me. I eventually got so tired of being the outcast that I would purposefully dumb myself down or throttle my performance so I could stay more in line with where everybody else was and not be that kid. I didn't want to be that kid anymore. And so on one end, I was like, man, you know, because I know my little girl is dope and she's good at a lot of things. It's like, all right, you know, I know she's good at math, but I know she can read too. So why she ain't get a reading award or something? And it's like, you know, but I see, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. Maybe y'all can let me know in the comments or whatever. But that was the positive part of the thing. You know, she was very happy to see me. Me and her mom and her stepdad kind of talked about that. Like, we still at that age where when she walked in the, you know, when she walked in the cafeteria and she saw the three of us there, like, there was excitement on her face and she's tapping her classmates to point out her family over there. And that's cool. And, but, you know, like, at some point we know that goes away. Like, at some point she's going to look up there like, oh shit. Oh my God. They're going to embarrass me. You know, like, I know that's coming. So I'm trying to enjoy those moments. But yeah, that was an overall dope experience. She was happy to see me. You know, she came and found us after the, thing was over. We were, you know, looking to try to get out of the crowd and find our way over to her, and then turned around and somebody's like grabbing me on the leg, and you know, and there she was. I said, yeah, we had a good time. I was very proud of her. And so I go to pick her up later that afternoon because it's our weekend, and you know, I got it in my head, like, you know, this is what we're going to do. I bought steaks. I'm like, we're gonna have a steak dinner, because she's normally, that's the only thing that I cook that she would like eat consistently. And I'm like, you had to pick the most expensive fucking thing in the store to be your favorite food, but whatever. But I bought steaks, and I was all ready to have this, like, you did a good job, so we just gonna have fun type weekend. But I'll say this. My daughter is, like, the worst house guest you could ever have. If she wasn't my daughter, she wouldn't be invited back. She'd never be allowed in my house ever again. Like, she's just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And, you know, and from the moment, like, even the dinner didn't turn out right because I couldn't cook because she was just everywhere doing everything, just tearing up stuff, spilling shit all over the place. Just fucking annoying. It went really quick, like 0 to 100 on just some, man, you're a dope kid and I'm so proud of you. That if you don't sit the fuck down and leave me alone, I'm trying to, like, grill a steak for you and be a good dad, and you are, like, sucking all of the fun out of, you know, me enjoying my little kid right now. Like, you are making this, I want you to go away now. Like, I was happy to see you 30 minutes ago, and now I'm counting down to when I can take you home. Like, she just horrible. Just everything. The amount of spills, the amount of just messes, you know, everything. She got to take everything out. She has her own little set. I call her Chef Elise, if you don't know. Because when I first started, you know, really talking about, like, the stories about my daughter, it would be because one of the things I tried to do with her, you know, when I got back on my feet and, you know, really could get visits and stuff like that going, was I tried to make stuff special by, you know, every time I had a visit with my daughter, us baking something. And, you know, we made cookies and we made mac and cheese and we made pizzas and all kinds of stuff. And so eventually my mom went out and bought her, like, her own set of, like, you know, colorful kids kitchen utensils and measuring cups and spoons like that. And I got her to, you know, kids safe knives and stuff so she can chop and all of that. But, you know, it's like she can't take out one. She got to take out every knife, every spoon that she got. And she got to use every knife and every spoon to do anything, you know, and don't understand that somebody else has to clean that up. We do this thing where we try out, like, different fruits. So if we go to the grocery store, we're looking for a fruit we haven't tried yet. And that's now backfiring on me because, like, she just, we ran out of the cheap ones. And now there's nothing but, like, crazy expensive shit. So she found some melon or something she wanted to try this weekend. And, of course, you know, I turned my back for 5 seconds and she didn't grab the melon and cut it open herself and asked melon juice and seeds. And she's like, it's like, man, I appreciate how dope you are. I'm glad that you're eating and you're eating healthy stuff. I'm glad that, you know, you're figuring out how to use these knives and you're being independent. But you fucking my house up and I'm just tired. Just stop. Just chill. She's doing all kinds of science experiments. I don't know how she didn't get a science award because all she does is experiments in my house. It's just cups of water everywhere and mixtures and all kinds of stuff. She went to use my bath. This was when I realized she's the worst house guest ever. She don't respect any of your stuff. You know, she's going to touch everything and go in everything without asking. You know, so she goes in the bathroom. She's in there for a while, you know, which is red flag number one. So I'm like, yo, what you doing in there? She's doing in there. Come out. Then she comes out and I ain't hear the sinks. And I got to send her back. Like, you know, you need to wash your hands. That's gross. So I send her back. She washes her hands. That's taking too long. So it's once again, fuck is you doing in there? Come on out. So she comes on out. And I'm like, uneventful. You know, I had to get her out the bathroom, but everything should be cool. And so after everything's said and done, crazy night. I got the steaks made. I made potatoes, and she likes corn. And, you know, we made a little carbonated beverage in the soda maker machine or whatever. Good night. Having fun. Finally, you know, it's time for her to go to bed. Put her to bed. Now dad can get a moment to himself. I got a whole lot of shit to clean in the kitchen, but I'm going to put that off. I'm going to go take a shit. I'm just going to go to the bathroom and have some dad time in the bathroom with my phone And then I walk in the bathroom, and of course, what? I had bought like a thing to refill my hand soaps, like a whole, you know how they sell the refills of hand soap or whatever, you know, the gel, whatever this shit is, you know what I'm trying to say. And of course, she saw that, and I guess she decided my soap wasn't full enough, so she decided to, she was going to refill it herself, and that got everywhere. So now, like, a third of the soap is wasted on the counter. Now I got to clean up soap all off the counter because she was trying to be helpful. She was trying to help and, like, refill the soap for me. So I don't know how to approach it with the right level of anger. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to let that go, too. I'm going to take this shit because I just need this minute. And then I go over and I lift the toilet seat. And, you know, it's just it's a large turd. Like, just waiting for me, stuck to the side of my toilet bowl. And I don't know what it, I guess it's the melon or whatever, but like, her shit doesn't flush. It sticks to the side of the toilet bowl and it just sits there. And I gotta go like boil water and shit to like get it unstuck. And she don't say nothing. Like, that's the thing. That's the bad house guest part of it, is that she don't say nothing. She just walks out the bathroom like everything's fine. And it ain't until she's left. Sometimes it's a day or two later, if it's upstairs in her bathroom, I might not discover these things for a while. And then when I'm walking in with the entire intention of just having a relaxing moment, relieving myself, it's who the fuck I'm. Now I gotta go boil water. And I mean, I'll give her a little bit of break, because I don't know how I would say that to another human being. Like, hey, yo, I need to, my shit stuck to your toilet bowl. Yeah, I got it. So just know, if I'm at your house and I come out the bathroom and I immediately start heating up water, just, yeah, I mean, don't ask questions about it. It's just, I'm trying to spare you some shit, literally, later on. But anyway, we had our weekend, and I got her back home. And as tired as I was after I got her back home, I had some really dope things that were going on that I was honored to be a part of, that I got to do. So I got back home. And as I was telling you guys last week, there was a bunch of podcasters got together to do a march to the record books over the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And so basically it was a continuous live stream podcast, video live stream for 48 hours straight. I think the number was around like 29 different shows or podcasters that signed up to do this, and we just, you know, all jumped in there. You know, people had like hour slots. It was I don't even want to say I guess I got to say one of the dopest experiences of my life, because if I don't say one of, then I'm like, I'm putting it above like my daughter's birth and shit like that. So it's close though. My daughter's birth was gross. This wasn't gross, but it was one of the dopest experiences I've ever had in my life. Like, it is one of the things that I truly love about podcasting and the podcast community, is that for the most part, all I have run into is love and collaboration and how can we win together type attitudes. I only found out about this thing because I saw a random post on Facebook a couple of months ago, somebody wanting to have a conversation about hip hop on their podcast. And I was like, bet, you know, I'm interested, you know. And so he reached out to me, and I went on his show, and I met some people there. And I went on another podcaster show that I met from there. And then I came back and did his show a couple more times, and, you know. And then, you know, a guy that was on one of his shows was the one spearheading this whole march to the record books, DC from the What the Shit podcast. And, you know, and then I got plugged in that way. And I'm such a, like, an antisocial person, and just a, like I said, my elementary school experience shaped a lot of the rest of my life. Like, I've always kind of been the not quite a part of type dude, you know, always kind of been on the outskirts, on the fence. And at a certain point, I think I started to identify with that, and just like, that is who I am. That's who I want to be. And maybe sometimes I even purposefully put myself on the other side of the fence, because that's where I was more comfortable being. But I saw this and I was just like, man, you know, I need to do this. I need to step out, you know, and be a part of Because nobody is excluding me. I'm excluding myself. And so I did it. And it was, man, like I said, just crazy dope. I think the original concept was that people were going to sign up and do like an hour. And we would just like hand it off podcast to the podcast. Just you do your show. Next person come on, do their show. And it just turned into really like just one long ass conversation. Just a barbecue, picnic, with a family reunion, whatever you want to call it. You know, some people had stuff prepared. A lot of people didn't. I got home from taking my daughter back home. And I was like, man, I'm gonna put together some shit. And this was video. So I was like trying to do the effects and have shit sliding in from places. Mm-hmm. And I had research. We did Guess the Ethnicity. You know, I don't know if you heard me play Guess the Ethnicity on this show, but I did a couple of rounds of that for the live stream. And I probably spent, I don't know how many hours I spent like putting it together, finding the articles, you know, getting the graphics and stuff ready. That shit lasted like all of 5 minutes of my hour. Like after 5 minutes, I had shot my load and I had nothing fucking left. And it just, the beauty of the experience was that, you know, at that point, we've all kind of felt like we had gotten to know each other. We was all cool. And it was just like, fuck it. We could just keep talking. Like, that was fun. Cool. We did that. We just going to keep talking. And so I think I was slotted to come on at like midnight my time. I probably got in there like 11 and hung out and didn't get off till like 5 a.m. And then I came back the next morning and did maybe another 3 or 4 hours just, you know, just shit talking, just random stuff. So, you know, I feel like my network expanded exponentially. And then at the end of the day, man, we made history. We did 48 continuous hours and, you know, waiting on official words and stuff like that. I think it's got to be reviewed by Guinness. But this was some real shit and we did it. And I can say that I was a part of it. So, yeah, man, shout out to, I'm going to try to, you know, I know I'm not going to hit everybody. But definitely, you know, Raw Assassin from the All on the Table podcast, like that was the podcaster that originally that I saw the original Facebook post from, that kind of seemed to have plugged me into this. Shout out to Dremo. I was on her podcast, the Cycle Path Park. Come on, I can pronounce shit. The Cycle Path podcast, not psycho, cycle, Cycle Path podcast. I was on her show this week, so you can go check that out. It's a Hard Knock Life Pack podcast. Annie. Pussy Talks, you know, I don't even like saying that word, but I'm going to do it for UCL. Man, like I said, What the Shit with DC. Just a million very dope people in podcast, regardless if they're content creators or not. They're just dope people, and we had good conversation. Big Smash from Bet the House. I hope you safe, brother. I don't know. Like I said, I'm missing a lot of people, but shout out to everybody who was a part of it. Please go check out, you know, those shows I mentioned, Spread the Love. I definitely love the fact that it just seems like a, you know, we can all win together type mentality. And it's like, man, we pushing to do that. And so, yeah, that was my weekend, man. March to the record books. I was a part of a record-breaking moment in history. And I'll never forget it. So, I did my best to try to promote. You know, I'm not very good at that. You know, I was tweeting and posting stuff on Facebook the entire time I was on, so I hope some of you were able to catch it. I think the entire thing is up and available to watch. I know you ain't going to sit and watch it for 48 hours, but you can jump in at any point. You can skip to any point, and you're going to find something crazy, something dope. So I encourage you to go do that. But, man, that was my weekend. Dad mode, podcaster mode, good music. I want to hit this real quick before I'm done. I hate to like leave on a down note, but you know, some shit really hit me this week because I had an experience this week with like an anxiety attack, like the worst one I've ever had. Like I was fine, and I drove to the grocery store, and like when I got in the grocery store, I just got super overwhelmed, super emotional. Like I couldn't figure out what I was doing, you know, what I had a list and everything, and just like I couldn't figure out how to do anything. I just felt like I wanted to run and hide somewhere. I never felt like that. I felt so scared and afraid, and I didn't know of what. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. I somehow, you know, like soldiered through it and got home, but I sat in my car and talked to my mom for like an hour after I got home to just try to come down and try to ground myself a little bit. And it's like right after having that experience, you know, I saw the report about Kenan Anderson, the charter school teacher from D.C. who was tased to death by the LAPD. And apparently what they're saying is that he was in the middle of, you know, some sort of, you know, mental, but he was having a mental issue, you know, and that's why he wasn't as compliant with the police as I guess they would have liked. But I just don't understand if it's one unarmed individual and there are several of you, how you would ever need to tase a person to the point where they go into cardiac arrest to subdue them. It's multiple grown motherfuckers trying to calm down, or not even calm down, but just trying to restrain one person. I don't understand why that has to result in somebody dying. And, you know, and as a person who had just, and I know I whatever I experienced was probably nowhere near on the level of what he was going through, but it scares me to death. Because it can happen to anybody. You could just have one of them moments. This never happened to me before, being, you know, just having one of these moments. And it can happen to anyone. And to think that the people who they're supposed to protect you could kill you. I don't know. And it drives me crazy because, like, you know, I think I saw the headline. And the headline was saying, you know, that the man died. And I watched the video anyway, and then it dawned on me afterward that like I'm so desensitized to watching people die. Like I was never one of those like faces of death type of people that like watched those videos and wanted to see that type of shit. And now all of a sudden I see a headline that tells me this is a video of somebody being tased to death, and I watch it. And I watch it because I'm looking to see, you know, I'm looking to be outraged and I'm looking to be upset at whatever these police did. And a lot of times I think it gets lost on me that somebody died. Like, this dude is not here anymore. You know, he's never coming back. His family is never going to see him again. His students are never going to hear from him again. Whatever impact he could have had on this world for the rest of his life was erased by a taser. Because he was having a moment. So, I don't know. I felt the need to speak on that one, to say something, to recognize it, because that one really hit home for me. It was hard to read that a day after what had happened. It's hard to read that at any time, but just it could happen to anybody. And we got to figure something out. We got to figure something out. There has to be better ways to do what needs to be done to keep people safe. That doesn't result in all of these people dying unnecessarily. Like, there has to be a better way. And if you don't see, if you don't read something like that, if you don't hear about these incidents and think there has to be a better way, then that's the problem. Let's have that discussion. Why don't you think that, you know, these needless deaths are enough of a reason to fix something? There's no harm in admitting that something is wrong, that something is broken. The harm is in knowing that it's broken and allowing it to stay there because of your pride, your nationalism, whatever you want to call it. Let's admit that it's broken. Let's identify a starting point, decide where we want to go, and then plot a course. But it's that simple. We have to start with admitting that there's a problem, being honest about where we currently are. We can't get to where we want to be if we can't be honest about where we currently are. And that's all I'm going to say on that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go that long. But anyway, yeah, it was a good weekend. You know, I had to look up what straight drop meant. I'm trying to pivot real fast. because I'm emotional. I had to look up what straight drop meant. And I guess it's like crack that's so pure that it melts and it doesn't sizzle or something. You get a lot of smoke. They call it straight. I had to do it one more time. So I was going to try to somehow incorporate that into my description of my weekend. So I guess I'm saying my weekend was straight. Straight. I fucked that up. Anyway, I'm really am trying to pivot. so many odd pivots happen during that 48 hours where we'd be talking about like cereal or some shit, and then it would get to like nugget porn like real fast, and nobody would understand how we got there. Please don't search that. Don't Google it. It has nothing to do with food. I don't think you want to see it. Apparently, it lacks diversity. But I'm just saying, don't Google it. But with that being said, I'm going to let y'all go. I ain't going to hold you. Man, please check out my merch store. whatistws.com/store. Get your merch. It's still hoodie season. Coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN. Will get you 20% off your entire order. Shout outs to Dremo. She rocked the Dopeness Defined shirt during the live streams. I do appreciate that. But you know, hit up the store. It's a lot of dope stuff in there. I work hard on it. Sorta, kinda, a little bit. But if you made it this far, you supported me enough. I appreciate you. You are the real MVP. And until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, my show is straight. And I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.